Goodman Company, LP.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm here today with Richard Boley, Director, Office of E-Diplomacy from the U.S. Department of State. Richard, how are you today?
Great, John. It's a pleasure to be here with you and your guests tonight.
Well, great. You know, what's interesting is that, I've read a few history books, and I know that's Department of State, maybe one of the first agencies around. And you figure these guys be sitting around with parchment and writing things on notepaper and sending them off with pigeons or something like that. Yet the Department of State is really in the forefront of some technology changing, especially in regards to this social networking. And I wanted to bring Richard in today. So my federal IT professionals who are listening might, toss them a bone, give them some clue of what mistakes, what to do, what not to do, and how they've had success. But before we begin, Richard, I thought we'd get a little bit of your background and where you're from and how you wound up working for State.
Yep. I actually was in the Peace Corps and loved my time there in Ecuador and wanted to get back to spending a lot of time overseas, not just skimming in for a week or two. And the State Department offers a wonderful opportunity with a chance to live in a variety of places, have a variety of jobs, and it's been a phenomenal career.
Oh, great. That's super. And you made a transition there. You have technology over your career as well. Is that right?
Right. Well, I'm not a technologist, and I was an English major in college, but did afterwards work in Silicon Valley and did a brief stint doing public relations for Regis McKenna, helped launch the Macintosh. I got to rub elbows with people like Gordon Moore, Moore's Law, and really saw the power of technology, innovation, and entrepreneurship. So that was something that's been with me from a very early time.
Right. And I think everyone who's listening knows that the Obama administration is pushing for a use of Web 2.0, social networking, collaboration. And it's a nice fuzzy topic. You know, you sit in the metro, you talk to someone, collaboration. Well, what does that mean? I mean, how do you do it? How do you do it safely? And I think more importantly for the State Department, how do you do it in 18 time zones? I mean, if someone in Japan wants to get an answer to a question, what are they going to do? Should call you at 3 o'clock in the morning? Wouldn't it be nice to have just kind of a shared portal, kind of like Wikipedia, mm-hmm. to provide information for the people in Japan or the people in Silver Spring, Maryland? I mean, that's the whole idea. When Jimmy Wales was here a couple weeks ago, the Wikipedia guy, he said, not really about technology, it's really about, social skills. If you have good social skills, you'll understand how to use things in a collaborative environment.
Right. Well, actually, that's what I think is the one of the reasons why we've been so successful is what diplomats do is this bringing people together, having broad networks, tapping into those networks, identifying expertise. This just gives us another platform to do that. And I think that's in part the reason we've just ported over from the physical world to a virtual world, a set of tools and skills that we were selected for having and cultivating.
So 2002, they had the e-diplomacy task force. People started scratching their heads, figuring how can we do this? What's a safe way to do this? What's a reasonable way to do that? Budget some funds. 2003, the Office of E-Diplomacy started boots on the ground. And 2006, we have Diplopedia.
Yep. No, Diplopedia was, and again, I think the important thing for everybody who's considering this to understand is it's not going to happen overnight. So you have a change management process that you need to convince your superiors that it has value, but it's not going to be a solution that everybody's going to embrace overnight. They're not going to wake up the next day and say, Diplopedia is now a core part of how I do business. So we have had slow, steady, kind of linear growth. You chart the number of articles, you chart the number of editors, you chart the number of page views, and it looks like you're walking up stairs from the first floor to the second floor.
You talked about public relations. Perhaps you had to do public relations for the employees of the State Department.
No, there's no doubt about it. That's a great point. We actually do have an outreach team
that, to the people you work with, exactly, the 60,000 people, to exactly say, hey, this is what we got.
Right. And what we also try to do, and I think, again, this is the beauty of the products of the Office of eDiplomacy, is none of these are tools that you have to use. So it's not like if you don't use Diplopedia, you don't get reimbursed for your travel expenses. So we have to be better. If we don't, first of all, if we're not intuitive, if we're not, don't provide value, and if we don't offer solutions to problems and pain points that people have, they don't have to use us. So what we've done is try to win over people, you know, one group at a time, helping them solve a problem, having them then be evangelists for using this tool more broadly.
So if you're listening to this broadcast and you're trying to start a Web 2 initiative in your agency, the first thing is maybe get a good grasp of some of the business problems your agency faces. Yours, obviously, the time zone problem. I think it's so obvious with yours, but that's got to face other agencies as well.
Right. And the other is, you know, we diplomats in the State Department turn over in their job every 1, 2, or 3 years. So institutional memory is a tremendous challenge. This is a perfect way to have a living document, Diplopedia, where you have something that can be changed and will sit there until the next person shows up in the chair, needs to solve that problem, and maybe something's changed. And if so, that person can go in, edit it on the fly, and update it. So,
you know, in the movie A Few Good Men, there's an exchange between Tom Cruise and he said, where do you go to eat lunch? The mess hall, is it in the book of the guidebook? No, it's not. Everyone kind of knows. I think the same is true in some social networking. How do you find out? Well, everyone goes to Diplopedia to find out the new regulations, and it's kind of a social way to promote social networking. It's a kind of a common way, and everyone's understood that, you know, if you're getting replaced every 2 years, if I take you, Richard, and plug you into, let's say, Madras. All of a sudden, you may not know everything, but you can phone home and know some basics or some policy initiatives by a collaborative website.
Right. And the beautiful thing is that these articles then can then be aggregated into portals. So there's a portal called Deskopedia. You're a new desk officer. Oftentimes, that's the first tour in Washington. Your first two tours have been overseas. This may be the first time you're living in Washington, the first time you're working in the State Department. You've got a tough challenge. It's something you have to do very quickly. You're the desk officer for West Africa, a small West African country, kind of sleepy. Nobody really focuses on you until the president of that country is going to show up and meet with the secretary. Now you're center stage. There's a lot of things you need to execute on. How do you figure it out? Nobody else in your office has ever done this. You go to Deskopedia. There are the answers to all your questions.
Direct parallels with the military. I mean, one-to-one almost. I mean, military folks, 2-3 years, get shifted around all the time. State Department employees get shifted around all the time as well. So we have Diplopedia. We have Deskopedia. What other pedias am I missing?
Well, again, these are portals within Diplopedia. So these are articles. And again, an article can sit in many different places. You can aggregate these articles into processes or information. There's also you know, whole processes for managing an embassy in the kind of the most efficient way. And all the processes for doing that are in this another portal. And so it's, again, a way to in a living document to be able to provide guidelines, best practices in a useful way.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about West Africa and the prevalence of cell phones and wireless technology, where 20, 30 years ago, things may not have been as dynamic as they are today. All of a sudden, you're sitting in an outpost in Sudan, and things are very dynamic, and you have to be able to react quickly. And all of a sudden, the technology catches up to allow you to match that quick change.
Right. No, and this is where I see, the State Department is in this perfect storm, or the stars are aligned. We've had the Office of eDiplomacy, which has been plugging away at the grassroots, building these internal social media tools and developing a skill set and a competency among our folks. Now we have an administration that clearly understands the value of social media in promoting our policies and helping actually achieve some of our policy goals.
When we get back, we'll talk more about the White House and some initiatives like open government. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back. Today we are speaking with Richard Boley, Director, Office of eDiplomacy, U.S. Department of State. Now, I know there are people who are listening who are trying to figure out how to deploy something like Diplopedia in their own organization, and that's the question, organization. I mean, what's the structure? Where does it fit in the Department of State?
So, great question. In the State Department, I report up the chain to the CIO, and the CIO runs the IRM office, which is kind of our IT shop. And So Susan Sword is our CIO, and she provides wonderful leadership, as do the deputy CIOs, and give us the space to kind of execute. And we're a really interesting office. All the career leadership in the state, in Office of E-Diplomacy, are diplomats. So I'm an economics officer. I have political officers, management officers, consular officers, public affairs officers. We also have civil servants and a cadre of expert contractors. So it's a great
mix. Within the Bureau of Resource Management.
Yeah, Information Resource Management.
Information Resource Management. Great. And I'll ask more obvious questions here. So Diplopedia, you know, I go home at night. I can't just get on Diplopedia. It's for people in the State Department who have access to it. And also, from what I understand, is there's no anonymity there. I can't post something that makes no sense at all, and you're responsible for your right. So it puts people's feet to the fire when they write things, doesn't it?
Right. No, and then that was actually an important factor to allow us to launch and get people to buy in, who are maybe a little concerned that there would be information that would be incorrect there, and they wanted to be able to track back to who wrote it. And we've had really no shootouts. We've never had somebody say get into a big tussle over factual content on Diplopedia. So while we put it there as kind of belts and suspenders, it really hasn't been necessary.
Right, because, I mean, the smart people are going to be reading and saying,
right.
No, Columbus is not the capital of Missouri.
Right.
I mean, let's just get this straight. And it's good to know. I think every agency has acronyms. I mean, in the medical world, there's acronyms. I mean, and each agency has specialized acronyms. I think that's one of the insights that you provide my listeners, is that you may want to have a little categorization of abbreviations.
Right. Actually, when Alec Ross came into the State Department as Secretary's Senior Advisor for Innovation, one of the first things he went to was Diplopedia to look up. He'd come back from a meeting and have a list of acronyms that came up in the meeting. He'd look them up and quickly get smart on the institution itself. He found that tremendously helpful. And frankly, there's people who use acronyms and aren't really sure what they mean. So they can sneak back and find out, what did that acronym, I know the context, but what does it mean?
You know, in the commercial world, certification and accreditation mean one thing. In the technology world of the federal government, CNE is something completely different. CNA is what, and so I was at lunch yesterday, and someone just tossed out CNA. I was looking around the table to see who understood what CNA
right.
was in that context.
Right.
Different context for being a certified auto mechanic versus a certified piece of software that leads to accreditation of the federal
right.
government. In New York City, they have something called a virtual student foreign service. I mean, this is a virtual world up there, or what is it?
Yeah, well, actually, that was launched by the Secretary, Secretary Clinton, at the NYU commencement address just about a year ago. And it has, we've embraced that in the Office of E-Diplomacy. And what we've done in the 1.0 was to port over a kind of standard internship relationship over to the virtual world. And there's a lot of things that it makes more sense to do virtually. For example, we had interns who were working on helping digitize the Iraq National History Museum. And obviously that's something much better done virtually from your safe dorm room than being flown over to Iraq. But we had many dozens of pairings between embassies and these students. But we also, looking forward, see huge opportunities not just to port over from the physical environment to this virtual environment, but to actually leverage the strength of the web. And the area where we think that could be very powerful would be in crowdsourcing. So we imagine an embassy officer, who it's at the end of the day, he or she needs some bit of information that would love to kind of task out, do a micro tasking to a huge, you know, maybe thousands of students who could be part of this, come back the next morning and there's the response. He or she could then, give points to that person, and the highest point winner gets, some special recognition. Or
I was at an affirm lunch, and one of the people from the department was speaking, and she said she's in Mexico City going through applications, and she was looking at people's names on Facebook to see if they exactly
right.
Richard Boley. No, he died 5 years ago.
Right.
mean, what you're doing is you're leveraging the newer technology because it's cheap, it's quick, it's fast, and it's putting the social networking, this Web 2.0, in work boots.
Right, and we're actually looking at doing this within the State Department. So we're in the process of developing a professional networking platform, kind of a LinkedIn behind the firewall, which will help us identify expertise. Again, if you're a foreign service officer, you turn over every couple of years. In my previous job, I did a lot of work on promoting entrepreneurship. Well, that's not apparent in my current job. So if somebody's looking for expertise in promoting and growing entrepreneurial ecosystems, they would have, unless by serendipity somebody had introduced them to me, they wouldn't know that was some skill that I could offer. with a kind of LinkedIn, it would be possible for people to search that, find expertise, not just if, where it is supposed to be, but where it actually is.
Is that called Statebook? Is that what that is?
Well, we haven't named it yet. We're actually running a naming contest now. So that's the working name, but it could be The Corridor. It could be Intrastate.
If you work for a small organization, everyone pretty much knows what everyone's specialties are. But if you work for a large organization, you may not know. We have business I work for has a bunch of software developers. One of the fellows is from Ethiopia, and turns out that he's fluent in French. I didn't know that. I mean, suppose it was a larger organization. One day I had to have something translated quickly. I could just say, Nat, get over here, buddy, and tell me what this means. In the Department of State, can you imagine with 60,000 people and all the various levels of education someone may have? You may have an engineer who's editing a document, and you're stuck on a mathematical concept. And you can say, oh, by the way, Lauren, you understand differential equations, don't you? How would you know that?
Yeah. No, and that's the power. And you look at large global information organizations like IBM. I mean, IBM has an incredible, you know, ability to identify exact expertise. That's tremendously powerful for their business. I think it would be, we believe it would be equally powerful for the State Department, especially when we think, you know, the majority of Foreign Service, or excuse me, the majority of State Department employees are not U.S. citizens. Most people don't know that. They're host country
nationals.
Now, that would
be a fun fact on Jeopardy, wouldn't
right.
it?
And now, you know, often, you know, many of those are gardeners or drivers, but many of them are, you know, well-educated professionals. And to be able to tap into their expertise and to, you know, have them be able to contribute more broadly, not just within the embassy or consulate where they work, but to a broader State Department mission and objective would be incredibly powerful.
So Richard Boley gets assigned to Budapest. And he walks in the building. Instead of having lunch, I can just look up and find his background. Check, check, check. Oh, okay, this is good. If I need something in this area, bang, we got him right there. You don't have to go to lunch and ask the dumb questions and find out he's married with two kids and he speaks Portuguese. You can find information quickly. I guess it enables this quicker using of talent.
Right. And also even, you know, you're going to a meeting, it's, you know, a large meeting. It's going to be on a tough topic. And you want to sit next to the person from a certain bureau. Well, if they are on this professional networking platform, first of all, you could see what they look like. Second of all, you could know a little about them so that you could have a chit chat in the beginning that, you know, maybe you're both from Oregon and you want to use that as a point of commonality. And it allows you to, again, get to that level of comfort much more quickly.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Richard Boley, Director, Office of E-Diplomacy, U.S. Department of State, kind of an old line agency in the front line of technology changing. So let's say I'm working for an agency and we have new leadership. And the new leadership has an agenda, and they're very savvy with Web 2.0 and social networking. I think a lot of the tools we've been talking about can help promote the agenda of a stakeholder for an agency or for a large company, can't it?
Yes, that's exactly right. And we're blessed now with having this phenomenal leadership with Secretary Clinton is supportive of Web 2.0, brought on people like Alec Ross, Katie Stanton, Jared Cohen was there before, but also embraces these tools. And we've been kind of bubbling up from the bottom. And we were really kind of meeting in the middle. The work that we do supports what they're doing. And the top cover that they provide makes it easier for us to kind of roll out new initiatives. So leadership can play an incredibly powerful role in empowering people at the grassroots to actually launch these and get over that hump. So you have that early adopters, the people who embrace it. And then you need to get to the core of an organization. And that is the challenge. And the important thing is to be patient, understand, find a pain point, help solve it, get your early adopters to be evangelists to other groups.
You know, if you're working for an agency and you're at a certain level of performance, kind of comfortable, doing pretty well, now some lowly guy like Richard Boley says, Diplopedia, this is the answer, this works. Eh, what does he know? All of a sudden, you're sitting in a meeting with Secretary Clinton and she says, well, in Diplopedia, you're going to be much more motivated than if a lowly guy like John Gilroy says, oh, what does John know? He's a loser. Well, this Boley's been doing it for years. It's proven. He's won awards for it. Everyone likes it. All of a sudden, no matter what agency you work for, state, whether it's DOE, whether it's Interior, whether it's HHS, NASA, all of a sudden it justifies social networking.
Right. And what I would like to emphasize, too, is it's the technology is not the hard part. It's the change management that's hard. So we have one of our early products were communities at state. These are blog-based communities where people can organize around a commonality, common interest, or in change management. And the great thing is this allows people to share information regardless of whether they're in the stovepipe where they're supposed to have access to this information. So you may be interested in economics in Japan, you can follow that whether you are, that's part of your core business, your core work, or not. And you can also, if you're following maybe even a slice of that, maybe you want to follow transportation issues, you work at FAA, you can, you know, get an RSS feed anytime there's an update on a transportation related issue on that community.
I'm just thinking about the virtual communities. If you are an expert in the economy of Japan and you get reassigned to Belgrade, that doesn't mean you can't keep following that, because the five people who know as much as you may be in five different countries, five different time zones. So social networking allows you to keep in touch with what's going on. We can take that and transfer it to other agencies. I mean, NASA has got a big facility here. They've got a big facility in two or three places in the United States. And I'm sure those brainiacs may have some very, very specific knowledge about topics I can't even conceive of. And maybe 10 people in the world can actually have a conversation or a discussion, and Web 2 allows that.
Right. No, and NASA is also on the forefront of using social media and technology, in part because they are, you know, a very tech-savvy group.
So. And they're trying to use crowdsourcing, too. It's a real challenge, isn't it?
Yep. No, I actually had a good chance, good fortune to meet a former NASA employee who's now the CIO of the State Senate of New York, and they're doing some really incredible things.
So we have crowdsourcing. We have virtual communities. Tell us more about these communities and how that can affect employees at the State Department, and how many other agencies can take advantage of this concept.
Right. Again, these are, I think the important thing is that they are self-organizing. So while it may have benefit business processes, and sometimes may actually be mandated the creation of these communities, they're really dependent on people joining them because they have either an interest or it helps them get their job done. So again, some are commonalities, people who are former Peace Corps volunteers or came into the Foreign Service through, came into the State Department through a Presidential Management Fellowship, or maybe both employees are Foreign Service officers. And so they have this unique challenges and they want to share with other people in that same situation. Others are kind of technical issues that or business issues like following the influence of China in Africa. If you're interested, you can join that conversation, whether that's part of your job or not. And the final is kind of change management. They're useful for all of these.
Yeah, the Chinese built a railroad in East Africa many years ago. Many people don't know about, but that's a whole topic within certain communities I'm aware of. So Diplopedia has briefing portals as well to assist people in different parts of the world with just getting adjusted to their new post.
Right, and we found, I previously served in Rome, and what we found there is our ambassador was very tech savvy, wanted to be able to read some of his briefing material on his BlackBerry. He didn't want to be carrying a heavy briefing book. And we were able to port over a lot of these unclassified biographies of senior leadership in the Italian government. We were put them on Diplopedia, and they were very easy to read on the BlackBerry. And it
and when he goes over his meeting, he can get an update on someone before he makes a blunder, an undiplomatic statement.
Right. Uh-huh.
I guess that's how diplomacy can be aided by the Web 2.0, huh?
Uh-huh.
Great. We're going to have to end our interview here. It's been fascinating. I think if you're listening and you're working for an agency and you're trying to figure out how this all works, I think Richard's experience with Diplopedia is a good example for you to follow, and maybe you can apply some of these concepts to using Web 2.0 strategies for your agency. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Richard Boley, Director, Office of E-Diplomacy, U.S. Department of State. Thanks, Richard.
Thanks, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. WFED, your source for federal news now.
It's the only program of its kind in the world, a unique opportunity to help strengthen our country's defense and further your career. The National Defense Executive MBA at George Mason University's School of Management. The only executive MBA degree tailored to developing leaders and managers in the U.S. defense industry. A unique combination of high-caliber executive business education, industry-specific knowledge, and hands-on learning, designed to accelerate your career in the military, government, and corporate defense sectors. Offered by one of the country's leading business schools, according to a ranking by U.S. News & World Report. To learn more, visit som.gmu.edu/defense or call 703-993-4457. Do it today, because the last day to apply for the fall semester is June 20th. The National Defense Executive MBA at George Mason University's School of Management. Do it for yourself. Do it for your country.
Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes.